Welcome to Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin Acey, Padres beat writer for the Union Tribune. Jay Posner, he's the sports editor. That's what it says on his screen if you're watching live. Jay, Padres just
Kevin.
Braves, the world champions. They scored big in the first game. They barely scored, but they won in the final game. They had 2-5-2 losses in between. We need to get into the offense. The Reds come to town. Wow, they're on a roll. They have lost 6 in a row. They're 2-8. They split with the Braves to start the season, same as the Padres, won the first game and the last game, dropped 2 to the Guardians and 4 to the Dodgers. Got outscored by, I think, 3-1 in that four-game series against the Dodgers. That's where we're at. Where do you want to start? Pitching, offense, what one of them's going to be happy, one of them is makes you very sad. Which one?
Well, you know which way I'm going to go then. So I was there last night and they won, but it was one of those games where like you just kept, as they blew opportunity after opportunity, I just had this sense like they're going to lose this game on like a bloop single and a pop fly home run or something, although home runs don't go out anymore, which is another issue. But you just kept waiting for all those missed opportunities to catch up to them. I mean, they did a great job working walks from Bryce Elder, the young Braves pitcher. Doug Eddings seemed to do a pretty professional job behind the plate, which was refreshing both ways. And yet the Padres couldn't get a hit. So they were 0-for-9 with runners in scoring position. Saturday, they pulled off what has to be extreme rarity, which is that, as you wrote, they didn't have a hit in score with a runner in scoring position because they didn't even have an at-bat with a runner in scoring position.
I'm very disappointed in myself. I didn't look that up as to when the last time it happened, but you're right, a rarity.
They hit 2 home runs, but nobody else touched got to second base. And then Friday night, when I was there as well and watched Mackenzie Gore, who we can get to in a minute, they only had one hit with a runner in scoring position that night as well. Let's just say they're not going to win too many games, too many series if they have one hit per weekend with a runner in scoring position. The obvious question is it too early to panic? The obvious answer is yes. Is it too early to be a little bit concerned? Yeah, probably not.
No, sir. Absolutely not. And especially in that it is very similar to how the final, let's say, even 3 or plus months of last season went, even when they were winning and doing okay in June and parts of July. This is a continuation of that. So it's definitely a concern. I will say they're generally middle of the pack. As bad as these offensive stats are, the Padres as a team are, they're not the worst. And that is not to say that you're shooting to not be the worst. This isn't the old Padres where 28th in batting average was an improvement. But being that it's this early, and if you want to look around the league and say, seems like offense is down.
Right.
Through 11 games, some teams have played 10. I even think there's a couple that have played 9. But
yeah, the teams all ahead of the Padres have all played 9. So
it is absolutely concerning. Without a doubt, when they've scored 45 runs and 22 of those came in 2 games.
Right.
That's incredible.
Yeah. I mean, it's just very odd. And like you said, offense is down around the league. You know, the Padres obviously are missing their best offensive player and will be for a couple of months. They've had some guys that have stepped up in the absence of Tatis, at least until the last couple of days. I think Hosmer had one hit last night. Machado slowed down a little bit over the weekend. Grisham hit the home run and worked on Saturday, did work a couple walks last night. But I mean, until Hosmer's hit late in the game last night, their only 2 hits came back to back from Ha-Seong Kim and CJ Abrams.
That's where their runs came too, after
hit batter and a hustle play from Cronenworth, you know, beating out a grounder to shortstop. So yeah, I mean, there was just nothing to speak of offensively the last 3 nights, except it hit a couple home runs on Saturday. Even Friday, I mean, I think there was one hit that somebody blooped into the outfield and Ha-Seong Kim used his speed to score a run that, you know, maybe they wouldn't have scored otherwise. So they need more guys to hit. I mean, it's not like anybody needs us to tell them that. But, you know, Will Myers has been out. You know, Matt Beatty played in his stead and hasn't done anything. You know, Grisham's average is way down. I expected Abrams, you know, I don't expect Abrams to hit. I don't even think the Padres expect him to hit at this point. I mean, He's done everything he's needed to do defensively. He's played three different positions already in his first week and a half in the big leagues and played them all well. So I don't think anybody can complain about that. And you can afford to do something like that if other guys are hitting. But, yes, you know, Luke Voit, as you know, as he told Bryce Miller after the game the other day, has been pathetic. That was Voit's word, not mine or anybody else's. So a lot of guys aren't doing very well. They've also played, I think, 6% of the season. So it's, you know, it's one of those things. Now, the Reds stink. These are the kind of games where we've talked about before. You can't let these opportunities get by. When you play bad teams like this, you need to, you know, you need to beat them. You need to put them away and then get ready for a big weekend against the Dodgers. And by the way, I'm going to point this out. Clayton Kershaw and Sean Manaea scheduled to pitch on Sunday. Very excited about that one.
You've got Manaea, Musgrove, Gore going this series.
Right.
You are facing the Reds. You don't win two of three and at least be, you know, 8-6 through this first 14 to start the season. Then it's obviously a disappointment. It's not the end of the world. It happens where you drop 2-3 to the Reds. But come on. Come on. Come on.
Right.
In between the defending world champions and the 27 Yankees, you're playing the Reds, and you know, you've got to take advantage of that. Manaea is going to give you, you know, not every time, but you absolutely feel confident that the next two nights, the guys are going to give you six innings. I think, what is it, six out of the 11 games, they've gotten six plus from their starters, and three times, actually, of the 10 times that an actual starting pitcher has started, none of them are only Yu Darvish, who went one and two-thirds in Arizona, went fewer than five innings. Martinez had both of the five-inning starts, and Mackenzie Gore had one of the more fantastic 5 1/3 inning outings in his major league debut. So all of that I stumbled through is to say that the starting pitching is giving you as much as could possibly be expected at this point. Now,
right.
I said offense is down in defense of the Padres offense. I don't know what that means to kind of put in perspective the Padres pitching. But the fact is, like, these guys are giving them everything they could.
Right. And Darvish had the one bad start in San Francisco when it was, you know, the wind chill
San Francisco,
was like
yes.
45 or whatever it was. I'm willing to toss that. I thought he looked very good last night. You know, we'll talk about Gore from Friday night. I mean, he went 5 1/3, and I got the sense that if the lineup had been a little different, he would have gone on. I think he threw 73 pitches, but he walked a batter, and they had two right-handed batters coming up in the sixth inning, and so I thought it was absolutely the right move there to get him out. But, you know, if he doesn't walk that guy, maybe he still stays in and pitches there to those guys, because he didn't really look like he was weakening, like he might have had another – been able to finish that inning. But I was struck by, obviously his stuff. I mean, he's, you know, he's throwing 94 to 96. Didn't think he got very many the breaking balls over that night, but looked very poised out there. You know, gave up the one home run to, Ozzie Albies, who did his best Joe Morgan impression over the weekend, blasting three home runs in three games. But he, you know, and I watched him leaving the field after that inning, and he walked to the dugout, and, you know, Bob Melvin was the first guy there to, you know, pat him on the back, like obviously saying, don't worry about it. And he didn't let it get to him. He, very athletic on the mound, made a couple of nice plays. He just, you know, he looks the part and looked like the kind of guy that you can count on to only get better as time goes on. It doesn't mean he's not going to have his bad starts. Just like any of these guys aren't. I mean, Yu Darvish can get shelled. Anybody can. But I thought for a start, it was really, really impressive. Kind of glad he gets to face the Reds on Wednesday and skip the Dodgers. Not sure he necessarily needs to go Braves Dodgers back to back in his first two starts. And then he can pitch on the road wherever one of those NL Central cities you go next week.
I believe it'll be Cincinnati that he'll line up again. So he gets Cincinnati at Petco, which is a real ballpark, and then he gets Cincinnati in a bandbox. Though I will say that I have seen that two of the days have 40% chance of rain in Cincinnati, and my experience is that 40% in Cincinnati means 100% in San Diego. So could be for some more rain delays there in Cincinnati. Just had to throw that out. What you said about is looking the part, And I think it's a product of him having his stuff back, right? But that was one of the great things. And that's one of the separators between a number three starter, four starter, five starter, and an ace. Stuff plus makeup. And Mackenzie Gore did not look like the confident kid that everyone said was coming to the majors and was going to, you know, kick some butt. He did not look like that guy for a couple spring trainings. And it was back this spring training, along with his stuff, obviously. And so I just thought that was huge. Threw a slider when his slider wasn't working, but he said, seemed like a good time to throw it. And he struck out Ozzie Albies with it.
Right.
And earlier, I thought it was great. He threw not a terrible slider to walk Matt Olson. Now, there it was. That was not a terrible slider. It was in the first inning. It was 3-2, and he threw the slider. And in AAA, very well could have gotten the strikeout. That was Matt Olson, who's getting on base at 55% clip for the season, and that's exactly what he did against the Padres, too. He was 7-for-15, two doubles, a homer, and three walks. It was incredible. If anyone's matching what Joe Musgrove did coming home last year, having a no-hitter in his second start, it's Matt Olson going home to Atlanta area and starting the way he has. But anyway, I thought that was like, okay, there were like these learning moments, right? That slider has to be a little bit better, or maybe some of the pitches earlier have to make Matt Olson chase that. Whatever it was, I don't know. But that was that learning moment. He was not great that night. It wasn't like, whoa. But he, without his best stuff, he goes 5 1/3. I hate to say this because if Eric Hosmer had scooped a ball on an incredible play by Manny Machado, the fifth inning would have been over sooner. Maybe he could have stayed in, you know, a little, because let me tell you something. The Padres don't have any errors, first team since what, 1901 or something, to not have any errors through 11 games. And Eric Hosmer is the reason they don't have some errors, is one of the reasons they don't have some errors. So I hate to have pointed out that he's, you know, messed up.
No, but I had to laugh because we got an email from one of our guys that we get emails from all the time, who was like ripping Hosmer for that play, not scooping it up. And I was just laughing, like, you know, he has saved probably five errors from other guys. I mean,
that's how it is.
Look, as I said many times, I can be as critical of Hosmer as anyone, but not all the time. I mean, he's not completely hopeless, and he has had a pretty good defensive start. I think that, as I recall, and I haven't seen every batter of every game, that might be the only. There's only been one, maybe two balls that he hasn't scooped.
Maybe another one that was a little even more difficult than that one.
Yeah.
But there have been at least four that, like, come on. Like, I'm not saying they're great or that a first baseman, a good first baseman shouldn't make them. I'm not giving him his gold glove from the American League back, right? But I'm saying, damn. So anyway, I just had to say that since I pointed out that he maybe was one of the things that didn't go exactly right for Mackenzie Gore. By the way, Manny Machado's defense.
I was just going to say that he was so good Friday night. I mean, he's so good, you know, all the time. But Friday night, it was just like one fantastic play after another. And I even mentioned to the friend that I was at the game with, who you know as well, I said, you know, and I've said this before, not watching Manny on a regular basis or even very rarely in the American League, you know, he always heard he was a good defensive player, and we've said this before. No idea that he was this good until you watch him day in and day out. And I think that's probably the case with a lot of guys. The guys are either this good or this bad that you don't see. You see, you know, their flaws and their good things when you see him every day. But Machado defensively is just amazing.
I've said it before, so good that you take him for granted, right?
Oh,
so good
for
that
sure.
You forget. Until he has a weekend like that, and then, you know, no matter what, and they look, he was really good on Saturday as well, and you go, okay, you know, no one could possibly miss this. But my favorites are like, there was a hard grounder that he got with one of his, you know, go back, and like his back's to the plate practically.
Yeah.
And before it was so hard and so preposterous that he stopped it and just smoothly, he looked over at the third base dugout and then did his easy throw to first base. It's the somewhat routine, but kind of hard play that he makes. And but it's like every single time. It's
right.
Really. Whereas, look, Nolan Arenado, is phenomenal. But Nolan Arenado plays third base like you and I would be if we had any talent. Throwing himself all over the place, you know, a little bit spastic, you know, playing the hot corner. Mm-hmm. Whereas Manny plays it like he just woke up. And yet it's better than anybody else. And I just, it's
well, phenomenal. That's because he doesn't hustle, remember?
But he plays every single game.
And he was leading the league in stolen bases for a while. I don't know if he still is, but I think didn't he have three?
He had three, two in a game. Three.
And he was leading the league in steals, which I thought was great. Other pitching over the weekend, who else pitched? Nick Martinez pitched on Saturday. He's your number five starter. Yeah, he's a number five guy. Both of his starts to me have had sort of the same feel to them, where he's in trouble quite a bit. He's able to get out of it. You know, one pitch here with a double play, one pitch there with a single. It goes your way, it doesn't go your way. But, you know, he looks like he's certainly fine. I mean, they could have used him last year when they were rolling out, you know, Jake Arrieta and Vince Velasquez down the stretch.
Great point, Jay. Far cry from
those guys. Right now it appears like if Nick Martinez is your worst starter, and if he's your number, well, he might be their number six or even seven starter if Clevinger and Snell both come back. If you have that guy as your sort of spot start guy, I think you're doing you've got a pretty good staff.
Let's talk about that, because Mike Clevinger should be back on this road trip, right? Got a second start, and I forget when it was. It's maybe tomorrow, but
yeah, he pitched Thursday, and then tomorrow he's going to pitch, I think, in Vegas for El Paso.
So then he's back, as long as he goes, you know, the 70 pitches or whatever, he's back. They'd like him to be at, you know, that there's this strong possibility he goes five innings in his first start. So then Clevinger's back. So what happens to Martinez/Gore? Now,
right,
it could depend on what happens. It actually probably largely depends on what happens in the next start for Martinez and or Gore. So then Blake Snell further off is going to have two rehab starts. Probably the next homestand, Blake Snell's back. Now, as we see, these things often have a way of taking care of themselves, but it is early enough in the season that potentially no one's hurt, no one's real tired, and all of a sudden the Padres have seven starters. So I honestly don't know. Is Nick Martinez become your, let's say that Mackenzie Gore goes six and it's two runs or something. I don't think he's going anywhere. Has Martinez become kind of your swing guy?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you sort of have Chris Mann in that role right now, although Chris Mann's not normally a guy who's going to go more than three innings. I know he has, but he's not a guy you would expect. So I don't know. It's going to be really interesting. I think Jeff Sanders told me yesterday that someone asked Bob Melvin if he had thought about a seven-man rotation. So I don't think that that's a possibility. I don't think they're going to do a six-man rotation either. I mean, one thing you have, and I mentioned this to Jeff yesterday, is you start getting off days.
Yes.
In these situations, you don't want Sean Manaea and Joe Musgrove and Yu Darvish pitching once a week.
And they don't every want
seven.
To, right.
That's great. You know, these guys are really good pitchers. You know, that would be like, you know, we only want Manny Machado having three at bats a night, or two at bats a night. I mean, those guys need to be on the mound.
You know, we want to get Ha-Sung Kim some more playing time. So we're going to use 10 batters. And cut down on risk cutting down on Manny Machado's plate appearances. Absolutely. So it is. It's interesting.
Yeah.
It is certainly not a concern, because you're going to figure it out. If the worst thing that happens is Nick Martinez isn't getting enough work or something, then so be it. But I doubt that that's going to happen. You know, you got to game plan these things, right? You got to war game these things, but they generally have a way of working themselves out. And if they don't, okay, well, then Nick Martinez, you know, pitched two innings in 12 days, and then he threw in the bullpen three times. That's just the way that a good team sometimes has to do it.
Exactly. I was interested last night, and I know you weren't there, and I'm not sure if you watched any of it, but I'm sure you looked at what happened. The Padres went, they had Darvish got in trouble in the seventh, and Steven Wilson came in as in a very, very high leverage spot, which I thought was interesting, made one pitch, got out of it. And then the eighth inning, I was waiting for Pierce Johnson, who had gotten hit a little bit on Friday, although I didn't think he was that bad Friday, a couple of well-placed balls, but he was the victim.
Good point. Yep.
didn't have his greatest stuff. But here came Luis Garcia to pitch the eighth inning, and he was fine. I can't remember which one of them faced Olson. I'd have to look it up, but I've got it. But I was laughing because Olson hit one so far down the right field line. I thought he was going to hit Jack up there on the foul pole, and it went foul. And it was one of those, I could hear Mark Grant and Alpine, you know, saying strike one kind of thing. And they ended up getting him out. But it was one of those things where it was like, when it left the bat, it was like, uh-oh. So I'm looking here, and it was Garcia with two out and nobody on that faced him.
I think your point is just about the eighth inning guy.
It's a long way of saying we've now seen Wilson in high leverage. We've seen Garcia in high leverage. We've seen Pierce Johnson in high leverage. Do you see this as sort of a rotation basis?
Well, where now you're going to want to talk to me afterward about my planned story for tomorrow, because my plan B was this exact topic. I've been trying to find a place and a way to find it or to write it. It's a great question, Jay. And the answer so far is that they're trying to figure this out, right? Garcia wasn't around. So Pierce Johnson, besides Taylor Rogers, Pierce Johnson had the only defined role in the bullpen. You could argue Steven Wilson, who's been in medium or high leverage situations in every appearance that he's made. But Pierce Johnson was your eighth inning guy. I got the impression from Bob Melvin that Luis Garcia will be your eighth inning guy most of the time, but that the bullpen is just this evolving thing based on a lot of things. You have a new manager. You have a lot of new relievers. You had Robert Suarez blow up in the first game. You've had some other relievers not do great. And then you've had games where you haven't really had to use a lot of relievers. So like they haven't really been able to define. I mean, I made myself some notes about this story that is probably now going to run because you're going to tell me to run it, that you've got guys who've come in tie games, up one, up eight, down one. You've got guys coming in all different situations because that's just how the season's played out. But it is something that they would like to get figured out. Relievers like to know, right, so that they can be sitting there in the fifth inning of a 2-1 game saying, okay, I really get myself mentally prepared because I'm likely the seventh inning guy. And, you know, they like that. And Bob Melvin likes that. And so it is something that's evolving.
I do. Well, and I think it has to evolve all the time, just from the standpoint of days where you can't have everybody. You know, if you're going well and you play three or four tight games in a row, you can't have the same guys pitching 7, 8, 9 in three or four straight games. You're going to need to do some squad rotation in that case. Taylor Rogers didn't pitch for 5 days because there just wasn't a spot for him. He pitched on Monday and then he wasn't about, and they were never in a situation where they needed him, so he didn't even pitch again until last night. And Garcia was fine, and even Suarez pitched the other night, I think it was Friday, and struck out a couple guys, and if I remember right, got out of an inning without what was it here? He pitched an inning, got a strikeout.
He gave up.
I think he was the guy that was the ball that Machado threw that Hosmer didn't pick up, and so then he walked the next guy, but he got out of it with no runs. But I mean, by all rights, that should have been, that could have been. I shouldn't say should have been because you're counting on Machado making a great play, but that could have been a 1-2-3 inning. As it was, He threw the ball well. He was throwing hard, and so I don't think you're going to again write him off.
I think he's like your seventh inning guy, and so is Pierce Johnson, seventh and eighth, and then Luis Garcia is in the eighth, and Suarez and Garcia get a lot of ground balls. I mean, they really feel like within all this uncertainty that they have a lot of good options. Now every team is going to say that, but you know what? Those are some really good pitchers. And then Taylor Rogers, how amazing is this? The only good thing about this franchise for a long time was Tony Gwynn and closers, right? And I don't mean to overlook Jake Peavy and Adrian Gonzalez and all that, but I'm saying. Who went to the All-Star game? Trevor Hoffman, Heath Bell, Houston Street. And the first time in franchise history that a guy's converted all four of his first four opportunities is Taylor Rogers. I thought that was – I love random baseball stats, and that's a good one.
Right.
Raleigh Fingers didn't do it? What?
I know.
He was being asked to go three innings, but anyway.
Right, but I mean, they had Fingers, they had Gossage. Mark Davis won a Cy Young Award. The other guys that you mentioned, and right, and here comes Taylor Rogers doing. And you mentioned Garcia getting a lot of ground balls, and I think all three outs yesterday were ground balls. And a couple of them using the shift, by the way, which I know the shift's terrible, and every time somebody gives up a hit against the shift, it's like, why are we using the shift? There's a lot more plays like last night where the shift ends up working.
And that we don't notice because, I mean, Manny Machado has made so many plays, 5-3, that were actually 6-3, you know, because he was in the shortstop position. That's the new Manny shift, playing shaded towards second base quite a bit. But I'll tell you this, that the Braves got a couple key hits, one against the shift, and I think it was actually two on hit and runs. I thought that was really interesting.
Right.
The Braves were able to do that, and maybe that's why they're a good team. I don't know. So, all right, Jay.
Certainly possible.
I think we're there. I think that's it.
That's good, Kevin. We've got three coming with the Reds, and then a big weekend with the Dodgers before a long road trip again. But you get to be home for an entire week. That's a good. Yes. That's a good thing, and
we'll come back. An off day at home, yes.
And an off day at home, right? And then we'll come back on Friday and talk about a big weekend against the Dodgers.
Looking forward to it. Thanks, everybody.